It's that most wonderful time of the day, of and week, and therefore, and it is Arthur Schwartz. It's time for Arthur Schwartz back with us. But still very excited to have you back. Hi, Arthur. How are you doing?
I'm okay.
I am glad.
Can't complain.
That's what my dad used to always say. We'd say, can't complain, and then
complain.
I would go on to say, but I will.
In fact, today was going to be, in my mind, going to be a big kvetch of the day.
Okay.
But I'll get to that in a minute. A kvetch is Yiddish for complaint. So, except that it has more...
Kvetch has more of a kvetch. It's got more...
Yeah. Anyway, I do have a kvetch of the week, or day, or month, or year, maybe. Could be of the decade. I'll get to it in a minute. But there is the largest, as far as I know, the largest carnival parade outside of Rio is in Brooklyn. And I wish I was a little bit more mobile, because the parade route, which is literally on my corner, it ends on my corner, goes all the way across Brooklyn for I forget how long, with amazing, amazing Caribbean food. Remember, besides that, this is Caribbean people feeding other Caribbean people, so there's sort of a standard going on here. Anyway, I was present in the neighborhood that is now Caribbean. I don't know what the percentage is, but we have a significant Caribbean community here in Brooklyn, right in central Brooklyn, in Flatbush, which is, I would say, greater Flatbush. When I was a kid, it was sort of all Flatbush, but now it's divided into different subsets of Flatbush, including East Flatbush. And this is all Caribbean now, from a lot of different islands, but certainly a lot of Jamaicans, a lot of Haitians, Bajans, anyway. And, of course, they all have food that they want to preserve and serve to their communities. On the parade route, everybody is represented. It's just Caribbean Day, Labor Day in Brooklyn. And there's going to be all kinds of good food, but I'm going to miss it, unfortunately. I was living in Flatbush at the time that it started becoming Caribbean, and it was because Downstate Medical Center and Kings County Hospital were, at that time, were booming. Where Downstate became a major teaching hospital and still is. Kings County Hospital became an important local hospital. And there weren't enough medical technicians, nurses, I would suspect doctors as well, who we didn't have enough. So there were jobs available to these well-educated Caribbean people. And I was living on Linden Boulevard at the time that it started to change from an old Jewish community to a new Caribbean community. It needed to have some refreshing blood coming in, because I lived there. It was still the days where old Jewish women sat by the curb in beach chairs and gossiped about everybody who walked by. So this has nothing to do with food. My kvetch of the decade, probably, is the prevalence of not fresh garlic in almost everything. I don't understand why people aren't using real garlic when they want to use real everything else. And I get, I look at a recipe and say, oh, you know, maybe I'll do this. And then I get to the end and it has a half a teaspoon of garlic salt or garlic powder. Or granulated garlic. I'm not even sure I know the difference between granulated garlic and, do you, Jill?
Granulated
and garlic powder.
Yeah, it's like salt without it being garlic salt.
So I just this morning I came across a recipe that I said, oh, I remember doing this years ago. Maybe I should try it again. And it's basically cooking chicken, boneless, skinless chicken breasts with a slathering of mayonnaise on top. Let's remember, mayonnaise is oil and egg.
Right, so it actually turns out okay.
It's a good thing, actually.
Yeah.
But the seasoning and the mayonnaise,
and that's funny because
it was all good to me until I got to the last ingredient, which was a half a teaspoon of garlic powder. And I'm thinking, now, why not just grated clove of garlic?
I've never known that. I mean, I would say literally half a century, I have substituted that.
Yeah, you have to.
But it's
not a matter of my personal cooking. It's a matter of the national taste.
Yeah.
That's what concerns me. The national taste is now more for those forms of garlic than it is for fresh garlic, however you treat it, chopped, sliced, smashed, grated. I made tomato sauce the other day. With a box of cherry tomatoes that were a gift, really sweet cherry tomatoes.
Right.
And in that case, I actually had two cloves of garlic, and I just cut them in half and put them in a pan with olive oil and cooked them over low heat until they started sizzling a little bit, and I smashed them into the, not smashed them in, but I pushed them gently into the oil, and you can see, as soon as you do that, it releases some of the garlic flavor. And then I put in my cherry tomatoes that I had cut in half, and I cooked them covered for less than 5 minutes, it was all done. And I left the garlic in, as you can take it out.
The first time someone from Sicily, not you, I mean, again, over half a century ago, came to my house. He was making his mom's. He's like, yeah, we'll do this. And in went the oil, in went the garlic cloves till they were sizzling. Then in this case, he took them out. In went the tomatoes. Why can't I think of what they from the peeled
peeled
and,
plum tomatoes.
And here we were.
All right. Well, let me say, a lot depends on the quality of your ingredients.
Of course.
I mean, let me say, everything depends on the quality of your ingredients.
Let's start at the very beginning.
If you're going to use, I have to say, I have a good nose for this. If you're going to use pre-chopped garlic bought in a jar, I'm going to know the difference the second you put it over heat.
No question. Can I ask you a question?
That acrid smell permeated the fancy dining room of the Queen Mary II on many nights. Just when you were eating dessert, somebody decided to eat steak Diane, made incorrectly, by the way, with garlic. Anyway, back to this garlic thing. I'm sure, even though I have no scientific proof, that the taste for garlic, dried garlic, let's put the lump it all together as dried garlic, or this oxidized pre-cut garlic, comes from processed foods. What do you think makes, garlic-flavored chips or whatever? It's some kind of processed garlic, and that's a different flavor than fresh garlic. And it's just the same with other things.
It's the same with
truffles.
With chips and vinegar? I'm not talking about potato chips. I'm talking about the taste. If you have French fries, dipped in vinegar, oil and vinegar, not oil, salt and vinegar, fine, great. But they, of course, made a potato chip flavor with that. And most people apparently cannot taste the fake the fake vinegar taste and the fake salt taste, but here we are.
Yeah. Well,
it's all about flavoring.
The word truffle attracts so many people that, and they don't even know what a real truffle tastes like, by the way, because 90% of the time, maybe 100% of the time, the truffle flavor is a chemical. It's not from a truffle. It's from a chemistry lab, and it imitates truffles. And it's, I always say, like, it's the difference between cherry sucking candy and a real cherry. Once you've eaten the cherry sucking candy, it's hard to taste the qualities of the fresh cherry. And it's the same with truffles. Once you've tasted the truffle oil in stuff, it's hard to taste a real truffle. Anyway, so that's the garlic thing. So back to tomato sauce, because it's apropos of garlic, is I never make tomato sauce with any powdered anything, but I do make it with various different cuts of garlic. And I mainly use garlic in my tomato sauce when I'm going to have it with seafood, for instance, a can of tuna fish. I often make a pasta with and throw in a can of tuna fish. And capers, olives, all that Neapolitan stuff. I do that a lot. But plain tomato sauce with garlic is when I'm making fish. For instance, I'll make a tomato sauce with minced garlic and parsley, and then cook monkfish in it, cutting the monkfish into 2-inch lengths, like that. Oh, you know, monkfish comes in all sizes, so cut it into a medallion of some kind. Anyway, I more often, however, make tomato sauce with onion. And if I'm making just plain tomato sauce for spaghetti or other macaroni, I would start off with a minced onion, very finely minced as you can do, and cook it very gently in a nice amount of olive oil in a skillet, not in a saucepan. You're making tomato sauce, but you're going to make it in a skillet. For one 28-ounce can of tomatoes, and I have to say I only buy expensive San Marzano canned tomatoes. There are several brands out there that are excellent. Just look, you know, and you expect to pay $5 or more. And, you know, for a big batch of tomato sauce, not so much money. So put in the garlic, and sometimes I just want the onion. Put in the onion. A small onion is enough. A half of a medium onion, no more than a half a cup of minced onion. And cook it slowly in the oil until it gets soft but not colored. And if it is getting color, you see the slightest bit of color, put in a tablespoon or so of water, believe it or not, and that'll prevent it from turning brown, but you'll get it nice, meltingly tender. As soon as it is, dump in your can of tomatoes with all the juices inside. In fact, I use a rubber spatula to make sure I get all the juices out. And then either you can crush the tomatoes with your hand in a bowl on the side, or put them right into the skillet, and I have a nice wooden fork that I like to do this with. Smash the tomatoes with my wooden fork, or even if you have a potato masher in the skillet, right in the skillet, you can use it to crush the tomatoes. Once they're nice and crushed, increase the heat to medium-high and simmer. Adjust the heat so that it just simmers nicely, perk, perk, perk. Salt, pepper. If it's just for me, which it never is, I would put in some hot pepper. But usually I just do black pepper. And doesn't take more than 12 to 15 minutes, tops, to get a nice, thick tomato sauce. And not one that's going to turn watery at the edges.
I was just going to ask about that, because sometimes do you leave out the... sometimes those tomatoes have a lot of juice, quote-unquote, in them.
Well, let me say... in my book, Naples at Table, which is, after all, written in the mid-90s, 30 years ago, a lot of tomatoes came with very watery juice in the can. Since I don't buy cheap tomatoes, I can't verify that that's not the case sometimes.
Right.
But if you buy good San Marzano, not even San Marzano, but good Italian plum tomatoes, Pelati, good brand. As I said, it's going to cost you a little bit. Then you won't have that problem.
Got it.
Now,
okay.
If you're really lazy and you want to buy crushed tomatoes in the can, go ahead and do that, but I don't.
Do you strain it, or do you just...
No, I don't strain it, no. In 15 minutes, in 12 to 15 minutes in an open pan, simmering at a nice brisk pace, you will get a very thick sauce.
Okay.
Stir it once in a while. Go from the edge, get the edges into the middle. I've been doing this for so many years.
I guarantee you,
you're going to end up with a nice thick sauce. And if it doesn't look thick because of the quality of the tomatoes, then you got to keep it going for another couple minutes. But it won't take much more than a couple more minutes. Anyway, so that's my basic, if you want to say marinara sauce, that's my basic marinara sauce, is with onion. And if it's with onion and I have fresh basil, I'll use it. If not, I might just put in a parsley, although if you have mint is wonderful in a fresh tomato sauce. And if made with garlic, I almost always use oregano. I have really good oregano, dried oregano. It's always around. It's not seasonal. And so I can always make a good tomato sauce.
What's your position on fresh? A lot of people have fresh right now. They're just dry, you know, or they're just
frying. Dry it first.
Okay.
That's my take on it. String up a whole bunch and hang it upside down in your kitchen. It'll provide a little fragrance for a couple of days. And then you'll have dried oregano.
Right.
Oregano is one of those herbs that is is the only herb that I can think of that is better. Dried. I don't mind dried thyme either, but I can't say it's better than fresh thyme. I find fresh oregano has a medicinal edge that becomes less when it's dried.
Right.
I have a story to tell about this, actually. My friend's mother, who's now in her early 90s, is a wonderful cook, Neapolitan cook, a Neapolitan lady. She lives in Vomero, in the middle-class neighborhood of Naples. And she came to New York to help out her son, my friend, with a new restaurant he'd opened. This is many years ago. And everybody was asking her about, was wondering why she wasn't using fresh oregano. And so she decided she had to experiment with the fresh oregano. And she did come up with a use for fresh oregano, which was she took tuna steaks, nice inch-thick slabs of tuna, and sandwiched them with leaves of a fresh oregano and just imbued the tuna with the oregano. And then she grilled this tuna. It was good. Can't say it was something we have to do, but it was good.
And what is, not hers, but what is your position on rosemary?
I love rosemary.
I know, but people who don't know what they're doing can overpower your entire neighborhood.
But certain things I want it fresh, but it does dry very well, and I always dry. You know, I buy a bunch of rosemary for something I want it to be fresh in. For instance, I do love making what the Florentines call arista, which is a pork roast seasoned with garlic, black pepper, and a lot of rosemary. But then you have all this other rosemary to deal with. So I dry it, and it's very good. I use it all the time. For instance, I like rosemary with my chickpeas and pasta. So in that case, I'd like it with raw oil. So I take a can of chickpeas and simmer them with dry oregano, which I've crushed up in my fingers, and a clove or two of garlic minced. And when it's all simmered and heated through, mash up half the chickpeas with your potato masher right in the pot, and you can add this to some boiled macaroni. Dress, of course, with your best olive oil, and quite a lot, if you will. Whenever I talk about olive oil, I get hungry.
Do you crush up the rosemary?
Yes, I put it in the palm of my hand, and one hand,
right.
And I crush it with the fingers of the other. And if I really want it even finer, I could rub it together. Or if you really want to get technical here, you could put it in a mortar and pestle and crush it a bit.
Right.
I do always have a little mortar and pestle on the counter here, and I sometimes do that in that little one.
Yeah, I have a bigger one on the counter just because. But
well, I have a whole collection.
Yeah.
You want to come by? They're all in a closet now.
Because otherwise
the ones that are out. There are three out in the kitchen. Anyway, I love my mortar and pestle. I like doing it.
But it's important for people who don't necessarily.
So other dry sage,
yep.
I must say, sage dries very well, and I like. In fact, right now is the time I used in Cornwall that I used to harvest the sage, and dry it for Thanksgiving, because I do like a stuffing with a lot of sage, and that was sort of a ritual for a lot of years. Was to dry my own sage for the Thanksgiving stuffing. But, you know, sage is one of the few herbs that winters well in the northwest corner. What else? So sage is very good dried. I have some around right now.
You can dry. I don't mind dried thyme, as you have said. Dried basil.
No. I only like fresh basil. I actually haven't even tried dried basil in
okay.
a long time. And I don't get dried parsley, since you can always
right.
get parsley.
No,
get fresh parsley.
And
in fact, they're
pretty accessible. But, again, it tastes.
But if you have an herb garden now, I mean, you know what you can dry. I think, you know, we always used to preserve tarragon in vinegar.
Right.
And I only recently poured out and got rid of the tarragon from a bottle of tarragon vinegar that I must have made 20 years ago. It still had a lot of fragrance, but I don't know. It seemed to me it was time.
No, but the thing that is it's not just vinegar, but it's the fragrance aspect, because when you are using herbs to cook, you know, you have to adjust, obviously. When they say adjust seasoning, you have to kind of know what you're doing, because otherwise certain herbs, for rosemary is a perfect example. People have made rosemary fill in the blank, like rosemary some vegetable thing, and used so much rosemary that it doesn't, it's like it's too much.
Well, I mean, also remember that dried herbs
I'm talking about fresh.
Have more impact than
yes.
fresh herbs. So we used to say for every tablespoon of a fresh herb, you wanted to use 1 teaspoon, 1/3 the amount of a dried herb. But this all depends on the quality of the dried herb, 1, the age of the dried herb, 2, and how much you're going to activate it, 3, by either pounding it or crushing it. Or I always remember years ago you used to be able to buy a product called rubbed sage. Do you remember rubbed sage?
No.
Well, that's rubbed sage. Rubbed sage was just broken up dried sage. But, so it depends on the herb. I mean, really, if your herbs are fresh, open jar, or you dried them yourself, then they're probably going to be a lot stronger than the ones that you've been storing next to the stove for
right.
a year.
Although, I love your story about that, and I think it's probably worth repeating.
Oh, well, it's not a story.
It's
a
fact. Truth.
You want your food to taste like your grandmother's.
Axiom about that.
At this point, I have to say, like your great-grandmother's.
It bears repeating.
Yeah, well, if you want your food to taste like your great-grandmother's, you have to cook it with an open can of black pepper that's been sitting next to the stove for 2 years.
Yep.
Because it has a particular flavor.
And it's true. Never mind. I will spare you this one, but it requires that. It requires that precisely.
So we don't want you undercooking your tomato sauce, but just remember, in the end, it should be thick, not you know, by the way, if you do want a puree-type sauce, then use, by all means, a good quality of tomato puree in a jar, in a bottle. I buy Muti, M-U-T-I brand. Cento has a very good quality brand, and I'm sure there are others, but those are the two that are in my supermarket. And a jar of that, you know, if you want to saute an onion or you want to cook some garlic, sliced, diced, whole, whatever, and then just pour in a smooth sauce, these are very good products. You may want to add, of course, you're going to have oil in the pan, and you're going to probably want to re-season them with salt, pepper, and an herb, perhaps oregano, perhaps basil. I never put rosemary in my tomato sauce, but.
Yeah, it's a great. Actually, there's a wonderful. I don't know whether it was a Marcella. I'm not positive. You would know this, but there is a tomato sauce with it's a pasta tomato sauce with rosemary, and it's
what can I say?
Raw.
What can I say?
It's like a rosemary sprig, but again,
not my taste.
Except the right amount, not bad. A little too much, a little too little.
Well, but it's a jarred sauce to start, right?
No, not jarred. It's fresh, and it has a rosemary sprig. And I think it's when the heat of the tomato hits the rosemary sprig. But you got what I'm saying is, if too little, it's pointless, and too much, it's a disaster. But
well,
if
let
you
me
get
say,
it just
you,
right,
it really is
that.
A matter of taste.
Yes.
In fact, right now there's a whole. I don't even know why. There's a whole revival, so to speak, of Marcella Hazan's famous tomato sauce, in which you cook the tomatoes, pureed or chopped, with an onion, a half of an onion, I guess it is, and a lot of butter.
Right, I remember.
And I don't like it.
No, nor do I. And I remember
for one thing,
it was revived, I was like, you don't have to do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no, well, it's like all over the internet right now.
Well,
maybe it's Marcella's, no, I don't think she'd
be 100. Yeah, I know, but still.
Wait, she wouldn't be 100, but she certainly would be 90-something. I have to look it up.
Okay.
Anyway, I have cooked it to see what I was missing. And I realized that what I was missing was the taste of olive oil instead of butter. Too much butter.
I understand. I should have been there for that test.
So anyway, so my kvetch of the decade is the country's taste in garlic has changed, just to refresh your memory on this. And don't invite me for dinner if you use garlic out of a jar.
And don't refrigerate your garlic.
And don't refrigerate your garlic. Did I mention that?
Not this show.
I think off the air I mentioned to you that I have a friend who said her garlic doesn't taste very good, and then she discovered that you're not supposed to, because she came to my house and saw there was garlic on the counter, that you're not supposed to refrigerate garlic. And you don't refrigerate onions either. And you don't refrigerate potatoes.
You
however,
Marshall.
do not store potatoes no. with onions in the same spot. They should be separated. I'll do food storage next week, though.
Okay. I'll remind you. But the
and
point
garlic,
is that
you know, I mean, the thing is, fresh
we're
garlic.
Marshall here because he always, no, don't refrigerate the potatoes. Well, that's what I do. Well, don't. So.
Don't. All right.
All right.
Everybody have a garlicky week with fresh garlic. And throw away your granulated, and I'll be happy.
Okay, I think that will certainly save an aspect of the planet this week, and we will talk to you next week for new food storage, which is another crucial thing. Thank you very much, Arthur Schwartz, the Food Maven, on Robinhood Radio.